Renegade Health Radio.
Renegade Health Radio. This is Kevin Gianni with Frédéric Patnaud.
Frédéric Patnaud, ici pour vous.
I wish that you would speak like that the whole time. No one would, I mean, I guess, well, some people would understand. I'm sure that we have a French audience out there. French Canadian.
By the way, yes, but I don't actually speak like that when I speak in French. I just like created my cliche French voice.
Oh, that's like a French, kind of like a French accent kind of thing?
Yeah, like a stereotype French accent.
Okay. Oh, man. Socially awkward, I imagine.
Socially weird health stuff is going to be the topic, I think, today, right?
Well, look at that. It all kind of fits in. Everything happens the right time for the right reasons in the right order.
That was so not like a good link between what I said and the topic today, Kevin.
Let's get into it. We're talking about eating healthy socially today. I know that you've been there because Fred and I have, and we have some stories to share with you about kind of awkward social eating when it comes to health. And so what we want to kind of accomplish at the end of this podcast today is to get you real comfortable with where you are with your healthy eating and where you are socially too, because, you know, sometimes you can go way too far, way too deep down this rabbit hole of healthy eating, and you end up sitting at home alone, chewing on a leaf of lettuce and wondering what happened to all your friends and what happened to all your, you know, energy and all your life force, right? That like that social connection that's so important if you read the Blue Zones or if you read other books. So we want to make sure that you don't end up being that person who's locked up at a raw food retreat in your room because you can't eat anything raw food just because all you use lettuce.
I think we've been there, but there's also the part of being social only in a certain circle, you know, like when I was a raw foodist, Kevin, I knew a lot of people and I would hang out and have, you know, have a social life, but everything would revolve around the raw food thing. Right.
Yeah.
And it was just tiresome because some people are new at it and they just take it way more seriously than you do after a couple of years, and it just always goes back to food and just, you know, what did you eat yesterday? And like, I bought these mangoes at the farmer's market, and just always talking about this constantly. It's just, I think there are other topics in life, you know, and other friends you can have. So yeah, that's also part of it.
When we were buzzing around in the RV, you know, we'd be staying with some amazing people and we'd have talks, and then usually after the talks we'd hang out with some other people that were at the talk or friends of friends and that sort of thing. And there was one point, maybe about a year and a half into the trip, I turned to Anne Marie and I said, "You know what? I don't want to talk about food anymore." And she said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Every time we sit after our talks or when we're visiting, we're always talking about food. It's always about the food. We don't talk about anything else." You know, and there were a few exceptions of people that we're still friends with now, like Renee and Alan, who, you know, we found that, you know, they played tennis. And so, you know, we would go and play tennis and we talked tennis, and it was so relieving to talk tennis because it was just not about food. And so I said, "Dan Marie, I should just record this conversation, at least my side of it. And then I would just play it and just kind of like leave the room." So I didn't have to do this. And obviously that's a joke, but that's how it felt. You know, there's I think like-minded people like to be together, but, there's a point where the food conversation just becomes really, really tiresome. And I'm sure some of you out there who are listening to this know about that. And you're like, wow, you know, like, thank you for finally, you know, mentioning this because it happens to me all the time.
Yeah. And do you find, when was the switch for you, Kevin, that when you said, that's it, you know, was the social reason part of it that you said, I'm not going to be a raw foodist anymore? I mean, I know you had your health reasons, but was the social aspect a big part of it too?
Well, I can tell you a story. So I was in New York with two friends that you guys might know, Nick Palizzi, who is documentary producer of The Sacred Science, and then Nick Ortner, who is the CEO and founder of the Tapping, co-founder of the Tapping Solution. And we were actually, I was in the beginning of the Tapping Solution. Nick Ortner produced a documentary as well that Nick Polizzi worked on, and I worked on that in the beginning just a little bit. And we were filming in Prospect Park in Brooklyn, and we were kind of finishing up with filming, and it was time to go get something to eat. And this is when I was a straight, strict raw foodist, and I was just like, "Well, we have to go to a raw food restaurant." They said, "No, you know, we don't really all want to go to a raw food restaurant. There's probably like 10 people total, including Anne Marie and including Nick's sister and a few other people. So 10 people total. And suddenly I'm the guy that's being the pain in the ass. And so I'm the one who wants to go to this raw food restaurant in Manhattan. And so I'm getting frustrated and pissed because they don't respect my food, you know, kind of restraints. And then they're getting pissed because I'm being a total, you know, jerk about it. And what happened was, you know, finally came to push and shove, and not push and shove literally, but it was like, "Hey, all right, fine. You know, we're going to this raw food restaurant and you know, you guys go wherever you want." And they all went and had a great time. And we went to a raw food restaurant and I got a stomach ache pretty much, you know, it was pretty much an awful experience. And I kind of juxtaposed that with another time when we were in the city and it was snowing with two of Anne Marie's friends from college. And we had kind of planned to go to a raw food restaurant because I was, you know, we just kind of wanted to go just because we were still kind of had that mindset in terms of healthy eating. And we just didn't, you know, we went to the raw food restaurant and none of the two girls that were there wanted to eat there. And so I said, "You know what? I know a healthy Indian restaurant around the corner. Why don't we try that?" And so we went to the healthy Indian restaurant. You know, I was eating cooked vegan food at that time. Was able to order something. It was great. Everyone had a great time. No one was upset at anyone. And you know, that was like the other New York City raw food experience. And believe me, that second experience was so much better. And I look back now, and I would have much rather gone to any restaurant that you know my two best friends in the world, you know, went to that day at Prospect Park too, just because it's, you know, there's more to it than just food. And I'm sure that's probably where we're going now. But maybe Fred, you have a similar experience or you can share something that kind of hit you and made you realize that maybe you were doing it all wrong.
Yeah. I think, I had my raw food days where I did a lot of the stuff that you described. I mean, I can tell you a dozen stories similar to that one where I was kind of the pain in the ass for just wanting a certain type of food, which was not necessarily easy to make, you know, not obvious to people in restaurants or in the kitchen staff and so on. But I think for me, the sort of the breakthrough experience was when I was traveling around the world with my ex-wife, and then we just decided we're going to be like 100% vegan the whole time or try to be and try to be mostly raw and so on. And it was just not fun for many of the locations we visited, because food is such a big part of the culture that where you visit, and you kind of want to be part of it, not just, you know, be in your hotel room eating your salad that you made in a Tupperware container. I mean, you want to get out there and experience. So at some point I said, "You know what? I'm just gonna try some of the local foods." And I'm not saying like just that I went all out and ate everything, which could have been a lot of fun too. I almost regretted not doing that, but you know, I just wanted to experience a little bit of the local cuisine and local experiences and just staying with people, and I've done it since, and I've done it in different trips. And every time I tried to be a raw foodist, 100% raw foodist on a trip or even like 100% vegan, it was just such a horrible experience. I mean, I remember going to Mexico once on my own for a diving trip, and I just wanted so badly to just go back on a raw food diet back then. And it's just this whole trip was just a bad experience, because I was, you know, it's not meeting people. I was not really having fun. It was just complicated. I wanted to, you know, on the diving trips, wanted to make sure everything was done perfectly. And I think now the way I approach it is when I travel, I eat whatever I want, but I gravitate towards the healthier foods, more fruit, etc., because it's easier. And I think overall, I mean, I'm healthier during my trips now than before, because I don't think it's even just a psychological, but just the choices that you make end up being healthier overall, because otherwise you kind of tend to be frustrated and later you binge on something, and it's just kind of a nasty cycle. So I don't think traveling as a raw foodist is a great experience, or traveling with such a huge dietary restriction. I mean, for me, that, you know, that's, I love to travel. So that's a rule I have now, is when I travel, I'm not putting so many restrictions on myself for food, because the trip is not a long trip, right? So you can derogate a little bit from your regular diet, and when you come back, you know, you go back to it, and then you walk a lot, and you know, you don't eat necessarily that much food. So yeah, that's kind of my philosophy now.
Well, it depends on the type of travel too. I mean, most of the travel that you and I do are kind of like conferences, and at least for me, you know, and so that's a different kind of travel than like going on a cruise. But if you go on a cruise or something like that, I mean, there's always, you know, huge buffet plates of fruit and salad, and so that, you know, that's not really something that I'd be too concerned about. But for me, you know, if I don't travel too much, which I'm kind of doing this year, I've literally been away. I'm going to be away for the next, you know, four out of five weeks, which is kind of craziness. So I can't usually do this. But what I do, if I go to conferences, little health conferences or things like that, sometimes the food is good. So that's not a problem. I don't have to worry about that. Sometimes, you know, the people who have organized it, put together a really nice spread of lunch, you know, organic foods and things like that. But I generally tend to do something similar, Fred, as I tend to go towards fruits as well. So I'll either rent a car or get a cab, and I'll go to the, you know, Whole Foods or Co-op or local Co-op, and I'll buy a bunch of fruit. And I'll almost, they'll be, if I'm gone for 3 or 4 days, there's at least one day where I'll kind of do almost just a fruit fast, where I'll just have just all different types of fruits for one day. And usually in the mornings I'll have fruit, and then lunch I'll have fruit, and then maybe I'll have dinner. And so that's kind of how I keep my mind sharp doing that as well during some of these conferences, because, you know, you still want energy. You don't want to fall asleep in the room. Sometimes the room is so cold, you got to wear, you know, like, you know, sweaters and things like that, because they don't want you to fall asleep. But I think if everyone would kind of just eat the, you know, this kind of light fruit kind of way, you could have the room warm and you still wouldn't fall asleep because everyone still has a bunch of energy. So I kind of look at those short trips as almost cleansing opportunities to be able to not only cleanse, you know, my body, but actually cleanse my mind. So I'm not having too much heavy food during the time when my mind needs to be soaking things in. And that's a great way to go about it, particularly if you don't have time to travel to some of these, you know, restaurants, these healthy restaurants that you're looking at, that are, you know, outside of town, or maybe the town doesn't even have one, or in most cases, you know, most raw food restaurants really aren't that good anyway. So, you know, it's like, you gotta, you know, you go to one, you're like, wow, I would have much rather gone to a fancy restaurant and just got a nice salad, than kind of this, you know, nut bomb that I ate here. So those are just some travel tips that I have.
Yeah, those are good. I mean, you described more like business travel trips, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember going on a like leisure travel trip where you tried, you know, to control your eating a little bit, or on a vacation?
Leisure?
Yeah, like you know, you haven't done that in a while. Okay.
Let me think. In terms of vacation, I mean, if we're going to go on a vacation, I do make sure that there's, because now I have the choice, right? So if we're going on a vacation, then I'm making sure there's something there, you know, and so if we're going to go on vacation, we're booking somewhere in a place where we know there's good food. Like we went to Sedona recently. We went to Chocolatry. That was great. There's another restaurant there. I forget the name of it. But it's new. So we know like that, you know, so we're going to go to Sedona. We're going to go there. We ended up going to Vegas with Anne Marie's family, but I know healthy places in Vegas too. So we went to those places. So yeah, we do make sure that we go to places where there is healthy food, so we can make it happen. And then when we're with the family, you know, we have our stash of stuff at the house that we're staying at or the hotel. And then if we go out to dinner, you know, we don't interfere anymore. We used to, we don't really interfere anymore. We just use Yelp to find, you know, the highest rated restaurants. And we find that generally you go to a higher rated restaurant, you're going to have higher quality food and higher quality produce. And you're usually able to find something that fits your dietary needs and something that fits everyone's needs in particular as well.
When I travel, I kind of do like you describe, you know, I try to control some things, like, yep. I'll bring some foods with me. I'll even make some foods in my hotel room, but I don't do just that all the time. Right. I want to get out there and, you know, and experience the local culture. If it's a trip like that, or if I'm visiting somebody, then, like, for example, I'm visiting a friend next week in Sweden. Everybody has friends in Sweden, right? But it's a high school friend, and I haven't seen him in many years. So it's a trip that I organized. So I'm gonna go there and visit his family and so on. And he asked me, you know, should I make anything like special for you or anything, you know, like raw? And I remember the last time I visited him, I was raw, so it was very complicated and kind of awkward to get those, you know, those dietary requirements met. So this time I told him, you know, just make whatever you want, and I'm going to be okay with that. Now the thing is, let's say I had a, you know, I was dealing with a heart disease or something. I probably would not have said that. You know, if you're trying to overcome health problems, then you want to go more on the controlling, you know, the environment direction. But if, you know, if it's, for me, it's like 2 days, 3 days out of my trip. So even if I eat some stuff that I don't normally eat there, it's not going to be a big deal. Another thing that I'm doing now is I'm traveling with a travel cooker, which is really cool. It's this thing. It's like a rice cooker, but it's like a mini rice cooker, right? It's like the tiniest rice cooker you can imagine. So I found it, and I thought it was just so cute and interesting. And I've been using it, and you can heat up all kinds of things in there. You can heat up, like, you know, beans. You can cook rice. You can cook all kinds of things.
How big is it?
Well, it fits a cup and a half of dry rice, and then plus the water to cook it. So, okay. It makes a decent amount. You can cook one pot meals. You can reheat stuff.
What's the size of it though? Like a volleyball or?
It's about the size of imagine, like, I don't know. In the box, I guess it's less than a cubic foot. You know, I would say. So it's less than that. It's pretty small.
Oh, cool.
So I'm carrying that, and I've been using it on a couple trips. You know, like making oatmeal, making a few basic things. So I'm gonna see. Like, what I want to do is I want to not be eating out at the restaurant all the time during my trip. So I'm gonna use it for some of the meals, but I'm still gonna go out to eat. Yeah, because I want to. You know, I want to experience the local stuff as well. So that's how I do it. And I bring also a, like a Tupperware container, like a spoon, like a spork, you know, it's like a spoon that's a fork. And that's also a knife, like a little bit. So I've got one of those. It's pretty cool. And yeah, so that's pretty much what I bring. And, I find that I'll buy some fruits. I'll, you know, prepare some fruits in my room. I'll take that with me on a day trip. And so I control some of the food, but not all of the food. And when I'm eating out, when people invite me at their place, at the moment, I don't ask for anything special anymore. Like, but I happen to have friends that don't really make super unhealthy foods, you know? So it's not like they'll make a giant pizza with extra cheese, and that's not going to happen. So I know, in at least in my environment, that the food is going to be pretty healthy, even if it's not like 100% vegan or something. So I don't control that. And when I eat at home, then I control everything, of course. And then I eat healthy foods all the time here. So that's kind of how I manage my social life and my health at the same time. That's sort of my strategy.
Yeah. We used to actually bring our Vitamix with us before Hudson was born. And I actually think it's a good idea, because smoothies are one of the things that I absolutely love in the morning. And I haven't used the Magic Bullet or some of these other blenders out there. And I'm sure they're a lot easier to carry than the Vitamix. But if you're going for a couple weeks, you know, maybe you can bring something like the Vitamix, and you know, you're willing to carry it on or willing to pack it in a separate bag. It is one of those tools. You know, we actually ended up going to this place in Las Vegas, and we rented a house with the family, and they had this Oster blender, and it's just not the same. I mean, I would have much rather had the Vitamix. It took longer to blend. It wasn't as smooth. It did, you know, the smoothie didn't taste as good. Probably not as easily, the nutrients probably weren't as easily accessible, even though it doesn't really matter that much because you're still eating a big old smoothie. So the Vitamix kind of trick is something for crazies like you and me. You know, maybe that's something you could do. But Fred, I wanted to talk a little bit about the stress around food and the personality type is kind of like the personality types that this works for and the personality types that it doesn't work for. So I'm going to hit on the stress around food. And then I remember you told me something about like personality type and food that I want to talk about too. So first up, stress around food. I mean, the best way I think I can describe this is that if you're stressing out about your food, think about how you're feeling, like you're physically feeling if you're stressing out about food. You get anxious. Sometimes your palms sweat. Sometimes you get this like this kind of zap feeling inside. I will tell you this, even if you have a non-organic piece of lettuce, or if you have a piece of meat that maybe is, you know, vegetarian fed, so fed with corn, or if you have, you know, X, Y, or Z that's not like in your organic wheelhouse in terms of your eating, that feeling that stress gives you is on the short term is so much more harmful. There's studies out there. I don't have access to them right now, but I'm sure I could pull some up and talk about them in a future podcast. There's going to be some in my book. The amount of stress that the neurosis around food is causing you your body harm, much more harm than it would if you had an occasional non-organic piece of lettuce or non-organic piece of meat. So just, you know, check that off on your list. Know that that's the truth, because those stress hormones, you know, if particularly if you're stressing out, like I used to stress out about food, like not even after I ate my meal, during my meal, I'd be thinking about what I was going to get for my next meal. And I know some of you out there are doing that right now. Think about that stress. Think about the time that's spent in your head thinking about that sort of stuff. Get out, experience the world, be around people, enjoy your life. That's really important. And then the second thing is the personality type. And Fred, I'm going to let you kind of run with that, because I know that you said something interesting. Dr. Lyle was talking about different personality types and different types of foods and different regimens, right?
Yeah, because and thanks for mentioning the stress around food. I mean, just want to just add my little bit here. I think people tend to stress way too much around little details, right? Like you mentioned, and if you just let it go a little bit and not try to control it all the time, I mean, it's what matters. What you do most of the time that really matters. And once you've found a good system that works, it should kind of run on its own, right? You're making the same meals over and over, and you have a strategy for eating out. So I think, you know, part of removing the stress just means deciding in advance, like what's going to be your strategy when you eat out. Like, I have my strategy, but don't be stressing about it then. You need to decide in advance so then it's clear, oh yeah, when I go to a restaurant, this is what I order, and boom, that's it.
You know? Yeah, and you can't stress out about eating a non-organic piece of kale and not exercise for a full month. You know, I mean, that's like focusing in the wrong direction. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? That's like looking at the small details, like you said, and not looking at the big elephant in the room is the fact that, you know, you haven't done anything in a month. You know, you haven't moved your body, which is so much more detoxifying, so much more beneficial, so much more you know, health providing than whether or not you're going to eat a piece of organic kale or not.
And now for the personality types, you know, why do some people find it easier to stick with a diet? And why do some people find it very difficult and they end up going from a diet to another? And it goes back to your personality, not the personality that you get from your environment or growing up, you know. This is your inner personality, the stuff that's truly genetic inside of you that you can't change really. You just have to find ways around it. So that was a lecture, like you mentioned, Kevin, by Dr. Doug Lyle, who's an evolutionary psychologist involved in the health movement. And I thought it was really interesting because his lecture was called the Perfect Personality, I think it was. So it's about who has that perfect personality to be perfect all the time with their diet. So the five personality traits that you can have, you can be on one end or another. So I'm going to just run through them quickly. Openness to new experiences. So this is how, you know, you're a curious or creative kind of person. So person that's very open is kind of a person like you, Kevin, or like I am. You know, we always want to try new stuff, right? Conscientiousness. It's how essentially diligent you are, you know, how dependable, organized, punctual, and so on. Then how introverted, extroverted, that's pretty pretty easy. Then how agreeable you are. So how essentially other people can manipulate you. So if you tend to be agreeable, you're going to tend to say yes all the time and have trouble saying no. So, and people that are not very agreeable kind of stick with their own, you know, ideas. And then finally, how neurotic you are. So this is more how anxious and moody you tend to be versus somebody who's very stable. So the perfect personality type for this diet is someone who's not open to new experiences, who's very conscientious, who's kind of introverted, so doesn't need a lot of stimulation from the outside, who's not agreeable, and who's not neurotic. You know, I mean, it's, you know, that's the psychology word, you know, word in psychology. It doesn't mean you're actually, you know,
neurotic. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's your degree of neuroticism. So, you know, versus somebody very stable. So if you're very stable, you always do the same thing, you know, and I realize I'm kind of the opposite of those things. I'm very open. I'm kind of middle conscientious. You know, I'm pretty conscientious, but not as much as some people. I'm quite introverted, so that kind of works, but I'm a little on the agreeable side. And then I tend to be a little on the anxious, temperamental kind of side. So, you know, I don't have the personality type that makes it easy to succeed with this. But once you understand this, you can realize, you know what? Oh, I kind of, maybe if you're open to new experiences, you're going to want to have new foods all the time, you know, so don't make your food so boring. Someone who's not open to new experiences that much can eat the same meal over and over and never get tired of it, you know? So where do you think
I mean, don't you hate those people? Like how can they, for, and this is coming from someone who's very similar in terms of Fred's rating, I'd say I'm probably a little more extroverted and I'm probably a little less anxious. So mm-hmm. probably just about the same across the board though. Agreeable, yes. Conscientious, yes. And then definitely open to trying new things. I mean, that's like, you know, that's my thing. But I mean, it's someone like us, you know, we look at someone who's like doing the same thing over and over again. We're like, oh my gosh, you know, aren't they driving themselves nuts? And the answer is no, this is their strength. And then someone like that looks at us and they're just like, oh my gosh, can't they just stick to something? You know, are they just crazy people? You know, they're all over the place. They want to do this and they want to do that and they want to have fun and they want to, you know, try something new. And like, I can't even believe it. So like each, and there's more than just two. I mean, you know, that's just kind of like polar opposites, but each side, you know, could learn from each other as well as by knowing what your side is, you can say, all right, well then, you know, so-and-so's, you know, only eat brown rice diet isn't going to work for me. You know, I probably need a couple different types of rice.
Yeah, you need to make it exciting, yeah. You know, if you're that kind of person that's open. And if you're not very conscientious, then you need maybe someone to make the food for you, or you need, you know, you need help. You need like a structure. you know, maybe you're going to, you can even pay somebody to come to your house and make you some food if you can afford it. And so on and so forth, you know, depending where you fit in that spectrum. I mean, you need to work with that and not try to change your personality, because you're not going to change that. This is like inner, you know, this is truly, you know, your genetics in terms of personality. So you can never change it, but you can work around it and find ways, you know. And then just like you said, I mean, we, you know, we try diets that work for the guy who invented a diet, who fits somewhere on that spectrum, but it's not you, you know. And yeah, they're going to look at you, why, you know, why are you, are these people failing on my diet? They're, you know, they're not working it hard enough. They're not they're not patient enough, and so on. But yeah, but
they're not eating enough fruit.
Exactly. They're not like you. So,
which is great. And you know, for that test, I'm going to ask you for details if there is one, Fred. But you can look at color codes. The color code is another test. It's colorcode.com that has similar kind of categories. So like yellow is fun, blue is kind of loyalty, white is peace, and red is power. And you can kind of fit in there too, and particularly looking at the blue and the yellow. Yellow is fun. Again, Fred and I are both yellow. So that kind of fits into that open to trying new things, agreeable sort of side. And then blue is very loyal. And so blue, people who are blue in this color code type scheme, those are probably the people who are going to stick to the same type of diet for a much longer period of time. Does Doug have a place where you could do a test, or do you have to read the book?
Well, this is not from him. This is, oh, okay, like in psychology. So you can look it up on the web by typing something like the Big Five Personality Types.
Okay.
So this is like the leading theory in psychology right now. So okay, just look it up and you can find all kinds of chart. Big Five Personality Types.
Great. Very cool. So who would have known that you could bring all this into your own eating habits and actually give you an opportunity to give yourself permission to be able to be who you are when you are trying to eat healthy? Thank goodness, you know? and one more thing on this, like for Fred and I, who are in that yellow, in that like open to new experiences, agreeable, we have to be social. We are social people. So if you're feeling like you're in that same spot, you have to be social. And so you have to put your social ability a little bit, or your social like nature a little bit ahead of your ability to you know, to your strict diet restrictions.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Just a little bit,
that.
Not totally, not completely overboard, but just a little bit more. You know, think about your social first, because that's what really was driving you.
Awesome, Kevin. Good yes. topic today.
Yeah, it was a good topic. So guys, go ahead and be social on the iTunes page and give us a review. Renegade Health Radio. And tell us what you think. If you like this podcast, if you found something valuable today, we'd really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Renegade Health Radio.